work sometimes. Yeah, we had lots of fun with retreats, and it's always fun to get away from kids and get to just to know them a little bit better, just to spend time together. And their swimming run was not as fast this year as it was last year. I think they all had to go on that last year, but this year it's sort of 43 kilometers an hour downhill, so lots of fun. So as Mike said, yesterday,
that's awesome. Only about 800 of his 3,000 proverbs are included in the two Solomonic collections in this book. So the first collection of Solomon's proverbs is in chapters 1 through 24, and were probably compiled while he was still reigning as king. The second collection, as stated in Proverbs chapter 25, verse 1, were collected by scribes under King Hezekiah, and the second collection is from chapters 25 through 29. So why were the Proverbs written? Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 1. Thanks to Kevin for reading that for us. So as it says here, verse 2, the Proverbs are for attaining wisdom and discipline, for understanding words of insight, for acquiring a disciplined and prudent life, doing what is right and just and fair, for giving prudence to the simple, knowledge and discernment to the young. Let the wise listen and add to their learning. Let the discerning get guidance. And in Bruce Wilkinson, in his book Talk Through the Bible, I like it how he phrased it. And he says, Proverbs deals with the most fundamental skill of all, practical righteousness before God in every area of life. This requires knowledge, experience, and a willingness to put God first. So yeah, the word friend or friendship occurs 16 times throughout the book of Proverbs, and the word companion occurs about 4 times. Or not about, it does occur 4 times. But yeah, let's pray to get going here. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the book of Proverbs, for Solomon, who wrote these Proverbs down, that we can understand, gain wisdom from it, and that we can apply it to our lives, and live in a way that pleases you. Just pray that you'd help calm my nerves, and just that I'd enjoy giving this. Pray this in your name. Amen. All right, so what is a friend supposed to look like? I guess we have to kind of ask, what makes a good friend? Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 17, verse 17. Says there that a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. So I felt like I was kind of doing the exercises in Bible classes where, you know, you always read a verse and then you have to figure out the principle from it. Well, I did a lot of that. And so I found that the principle here is that a friend is always there for you, both in the good times and the bad times. You know, this is exemplified in a few different relationships or friendships in the Bible, and one of them that came to mind was that of Jonathan and David. In 1 Samuel chapter 23, verses 15 and 16, it says, "While David was at Horesh in the desert of Ziph, he learned that Saul had come out to take his life, and Saul's son Jonathan went to David at Horesh and helped him find his strength in God." Now, isn't that great? I mean, a friend helping you find strength in God, how much better can a friend get? And some may wonder why this doesn't happen more often. But let's flip the tables. Are you helping your friends find strength in God? The second half of the verse, "a brother born for adversity," is not talking about sibling rivalry, in the Bible Knowledge Commentary, I like it how it put it, and it says, "Some Bible translations make a contrast in this verse between friend and a brother by beginning the second line with 'but.' The NIV's 'and' seems preferable. It conveys the idea that both the friend and the brother are valued. However, in 18 verse 24, a man of many companions comes to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. A friend is extolled above a brother or a relative, and true friends and relatives are faithful in times of adversity as well as poverty." Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 27, verse 6. It says, "Wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses." So the principle here is that a good friend challenges you. When you're going astray from the Word of God or need counsel in a situation, one who is an enemy may seem like a friend by telling you what you want to hear. However, a good friend, even though he seems like an enemy at the time, will tell you the truth, even though it may hurt or embarrass you. Most of the time, I find that the hurt and embarrassment comes from your own pride within. I was also thinking of another verse in Proverbs where it doesn't mention the word friend or friends or companion, but it's found in a little further on down the chapter in verse 17, where it says, "As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another." I found that this verse kind of complemented verse 6. Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 27, verse 9, just a couple of verses down. It says, "Perfume and incense bring joy to the heart, and the pleasantness of one's friend springs from his earnest counsel." So the principle here is that godly counsel is the sweetness in friendship. I did do some looking in commentaries for some of the stuff, and just to help me understand some of the verses a bit better. And from Matthew Henry's commentary, kind of paraphrasing from it, it says, "The sweetness of friendship does not come in hearty laughter, but rather in hearty counsel, faithful advice, sincerely given and without flattery. The most pleasant conversation is about spiritual things which promote prosperity of the soul." So how deep are your friendships? How well do you know your friends? How well do your friends know you? Do you trust your friends to share personal thoughts, feelings, and struggles? Do you trust your friends to give godly advice? Are you willing to accept that advice? Blessed is the one who receives godly counsel and advice from their friends. So then the question comes up, well, how do you make good friends, and how important is it to choose a good friend? Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 22, verse 11. It says, "He who loves a pure heart and whose speech is gracious will have the king for his friend." So the principle here is that an upright man likely has friends in leadership positions. Good leaders want to surround themselves with those who have a pure heart, thoughts, and motives. Knowing how to say things in a kind and gracious way is also a quality those in leadership look for. Let's also turn to Proverbs chapter 27, verse 10. It says, "Do not forsake your friend and the friend of your father, and do not go to your brother's house when disaster strikes you. Better a neighbor nearby than a brother far away." So I found the principle here is to look after your friends. So as we discussed in some earlier verses, that you know a brother or a relative is born for adverse times. But however, if they live far away, it's better to have a neighbor that can be of more help. So I think in order to have good friends, you need to also be a good friend. Let's turn also to Proverbs chapter 12, verse 26. It says, "A righteous man is cautious in his friendship, but the way of the wicked leads them astray." So the principle here is that your friends have an influence in the direction of your life. So don't take just anybody to be your friend. Inquire and investigate to see what kind of person they are before you confide in them. Those who are wicked befriend anyone and lead them astray. So what kind of things should we look out for when looking for friends or when evaluating your current friendships? Does it really matter how many friends I have? Well, let's turn to Proverbs chapter 18, verse 24. "A man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother." So the principle here is that it's better to have